continue our focus in the season of Pentecost. A question or two for us to focus on as we worship our great Lord today is this. Do you eat with that mouth? Do you kiss your mom with that mouth? Has anyone ever said these phrases or something similar to you? Such a reminder that sometimes we don't say the nicest of things, or that we can be vulgar just because. What comes out of our mouth can reflect in a way if our heart is on track with God or not. On this side of heaven, what comes out of our mouth indicating that we are on track with God will be a work in progress. Not an excuse, but a work in progress. We'll continue our focus on what comes out of our mouth as we worship our Lord today. There is no one like Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May our triune God bless our worship today as we turn our attention to the first hymn. It is printed for us on page 3 of the bulletin. Please stand. We worship this day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray to the Lord for the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Almighty God and Father, dwelling in majesty and mystery, filling and renewing all creation by your eternal Spirit, and manifesting your saving grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, in mercy cleanse our hearts and lips that, free from doubt and fear, we may ever worship you, one true immortal God, with your Son and the Holy Spirit, living and reigning now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this first Sunday after Pentecost, also Trinity Sunday, our first reading comes to us from Isaiah chapter 6. With the prophet Isaiah, we too have to admit that we are a people of unclean lips, surrounded by a people of unclean lips. And so who of us is worthy to take up the task of proclaiming the word of the Lord? Well, in a word, mercy. We hear these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were all calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cry. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraph flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." The word of the Lord. This is who we are, and this is what we have going for us. All thanks be to God. And this all can be summed up in one word: mercy. Our second reading, Romans chapter 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. The word of our Lord. The gospel reading. It is not by our decision, but by the Spirit's doing that we are a part of God's family. And in a word, why this is the case? Mercy. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
On this Trinity Sunday, we use as our confession of faith the Athanasian Creed. We say it together as printed. You taking the bold printed words. Whoever wishes to be saved must above all else hold to the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not keep this faith pure in all points will certainly perish forever.
Now this is the true Christian faith.
We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing the divine being.
For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct.
But the deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-eternal in majesty.
What the Father is, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
Yes. Yet there are not three who are eternal, but there is one who is eternal. Just as there are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there is one who is uncreated.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty.
Yet they are not three who are almighty, but there is one who is almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
Yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
Yet they are not three lords, but one Lord.
For just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord,
so the true Christian faith forbids us to speak of three gods or three lords.
The Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And within this Trinity, none comes before or after, none is greater or inferior.
But all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal.
So that in every way, as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons.
Whoever wishes to be saved must have this conviction of the Trinity.
Please be seated. At this time, we'll ask if there are children who want to come forward for a children's devotion. How are you doing today? Beautiful day, huh? Everyone got a clean mouth today? Yeah. What can you use to help get your mouth clean? Think these will help? Yeah, toothpaste, toothbrush, and mouthwash. Yeah, right? Good stuff, huh? When's a good time to use your toothbrush and maybe some mouthwash? Okay, after we eat, what'd you say?
After when we go to bed.
Yeah, when we go to bed?
Yeah, in the morning. So really, there's not a bad time to brush our teeth if we're able, or to use mouthwash. Good for you. The prophet Isaiah, in our first reading today, he talked about the fact that he had an unclean mouth. But he wasn't talking about bad breath after eating food. And so it wasn't that he needed a toothbrush or mouthwash. He was really referencing the fact that out of his heart was not right with God. And that became clear through his mouth. And the Lord had asked him, Isaiah, I want you to go and speak for me. And Isaiah said, Lord, I have an unclean mouth. I'm not worthy. So you think the Lord said, here's a toothbrush and some toothpaste and some mouthwash, now you're worthy? No, what did he say? He said, you're forgiven. And because you're forgiven, you're worthy. So that's the same for us. You know, by ourselves, we're not worthy of being in God's presence, to be here in his house of worship. But because of the cross, what Jesus did, we're forgiven. And so we can be here with confidence. And when we brush our teeth and rinse out our mouth with mouthwash, and we think about the fact that, you know, I'm a sinner, but I'm forgiven. And that's what makes me clean. And may then that cleanness that I have from God through Jesus be reflected. How can we reflect that we have a clean mouth in Jesus? What can you do to show people that you have a clean mouth? Okay. Brushing your teeth. Taking care, right? Taking care of your teeth. Yeah? All right, that's a good way to take care of your teeth. You know, by telling a mom or a dad, a brother or a sister, what words? What do you think? How about the words that I love you? Yeah? Or doing actions? Out of love, cleaning around the house. Those are things that we can do, loving God and loving one another, to show that we have a clean house. So let's pray about this. Lord, we thank you for giving us toothbrushes and toothpaste and mouthwash to help keep our breath and mouth clean after we eat and when we go to bed, when we get up in the morning. But above all, Lord, we thank you for giving us a clean heart. And with this clean heart, we are able now to have a clean mouth. As the words we speak reflect a love for you and also a love for one another. So thank you, Lord, for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross so that we may have a clean heart and a clean mouth. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. May you keep your mouth clean and your heart as well. Thanks for coming up. We'll continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance, and this from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and sealed in us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hear these words once again from the prophet Isaiah. Woe to me, I cry, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand. See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, man, do you have bad breath? Have you been eating those onions again or what? Has anyone ever been so bold as to say something like that right to your face? Bad breath is something we try to avoid. Think of all the breath mints and pieces of gum that have been chewed in an attempt to cover up or mask bad breath. Why do we care so much? Or why should we care so much about bad breath? Well, in part, we want to make a favorable impression, right? We don't want to turn someone away from us just because they could not tolerate our breath. And so this is something we want to be sensitive about and do something about it as we can in order to minimize bad breath. Taking care of our mouth in the first place is a step in the right direction. And no dentist has paid me to say that. The reason this comes up is that through Isaiah, God's prophet, we are reminded that our mouth is not clean spiritually before God. And this is because our heart and our soul is not clean by nature before God. What is in our heart can get reflected then through our mouth, and so can make our mouth unclean. If God is not occupying the heart, then this oftentimes then will be evident through our mouth. Just as we do not make our mouth minty fresh just by wishing it to be so or by deciding to do something about it, so we cannot make our heart clean just by wishing it so or by deciding we want it that way. We need something outside of us to get our mouth clean. And so we need something outside of us to get our heart clean. Isaiah makes that point very clear by inspiration. Isaiah lived approximately 700 years before Jesus came to this earth in flesh. His mission was to warn the children of Israel of the upcoming judgment upon them due to their rebellious ways. And at the same time, remind them of the promise that the Lord God still intended to fulfill with them and all people in mind. And so the book of Isaiah is filled with countless stern warnings, some still applicable to us as they were not just children of Israel specific. And the book of Isaiah is also filled with wonderful references to describe the purpose and the mission of the Messiah. And that purpose is definitely applicable to you and me and to all still today. As Isaiah was given a clean mouth to speak up for the Lord, so it can be said of us, you have been given a clean mouth. Our mouth has been made clean by mercy, and for good reason. It has been made clean to speak up for the Lord. Israel was God's chosen nation for the purpose of bringing the Messiah in the flesh. As such, they were to be a nation set apart from the other nations. They did not always do so well at that, though, did they? Remaining set apart from the other nations. Before and after a split of Israel into two nations, The northern 10 tribes of Israel split off into their own country following the reign of King Solomon. And as a nation, they were eliminated as such in 722 BC. This is a judgment from God due to their unrepentant, rebellious ways, despite warning after warning put before them. Isaiah was called to the southern nation from that split, which went by the name of Judah, in order to help them from receiving the same eliminated status that their brothers and sisters to the north had received. Well, Judah was doing okay for a while, but it really started to spiritually spiral downward for them after the death of King Uzziah, our text points out. Under King Uzziah, Judah was an influential role player. They were a nation that had been able to expand its territory. It was a nation that had great wealth, and it was a nation that had God as a priority. But that was all about to change, as the kings that followed Uzziah were not able to have as much as a positive influence on the people as Uzziah was able to have, partly because the kings themselves were not fully loyal to the Lord God. We are reminded in the first commandment that there is not room for multiple loyalties when it comes to God, and for good reason. You and I know what happens when there are multiple loyalties going on, when we're trying to appease both sides. Or as our Lord has said, one cannot serve Satan and love the world and at the same time have a love for God. It is one or the other, not both. So with this faithful king gone, the Lord calls Isaiah into action. God knew that Judah would go the same way that their brothers and sisters to the north had gone. But he was not going to just disown them without having a fight for them. God is a God of mercy. True, he is a God of justice, and rightly so, for without justice, what kind of people and society would there be? But with justice, there also has to be mercy. The Bible is full of accounts pointing out how much sin abounds in this world, and it always has, and it still does. In fact, you and I, we cannot listen to the newscast without hearing evidence of the fact that sin abounds greatly in a society we live in. And it's not just on the news that we hear that we have evidence of sin abounding. It is in our own lives that we see the ugliness of sin taking root. And it is in the lives of our family, in the lives of our friends, in the lives of our co-workers, and on. We should not be shocked then by what we hear. It's nothing new. And at the same time, we should not be okay with what we hear and with what we see. But that does not make sin okay. The days of Israel and Judah, they closely look like the days we are living in, don't they? As idolatry is present, abuse of God's gift of sex is off the charts, sacrificing of children to the gods of this world, dishonest work scales, divorce, abandonment, you name it, our world sees it. Nothing new under the sun. And what is also not new under the sun is God's mercy. Even the prophet Isaiah had to admit that he was a sinful man who did not deserve God's mercy. He had been put in the presence of God. And instead of saying to himself, "I am all that and a bag of chips for giving this privilege of being able to stand in the presence of God," this is what he said: "Woe to me. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Well, what do you and I have to admit with Isaiah? We have to admit with him that we too are unclean and unworthy to stand here, to sit here in the presence of God Almighty. And so at the beginning of our worship services, we are reminded of this truth. As we confess our sins, we are reminded of the fact that we are not worthy to be here in God's presence, in this place where we come to worship our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is also an opportunity to be reminded of the fact that it's by his mercy that we are able to approach God with repentant hearts. What we hear next then is meant to be so uplifting to us. And that is because of the fact of his mercy we are forgiven. Forgiveness of all of our sins. Those we committed out loud and those we committed and confessed in our mind. Forgiven then, we are able to stand here and to sit here confidently in the presence of God Almighty. To be in this house of worship, refreshed and ready to hear again his word of truth, and then in response to sing songs of praise to him. The baptism font in the middle serves as a reminder of how a relationship with God got started in the first place for most of us. What a gift that God has given to us through his means of grace, the gospel in word and in sacrament. It is because of this gift, emphasized in our gospel reading from John chapter 3, that we are able to come before his altar, an altar which reminds us of the sacrifices that were made leading up to and with Christ himself. And because of his sacrifice, then, we are able to stand justified before God. How important it is, then, to admit the fact, as Isaiah did, that we are a people of unclean lips. For what comes out of our mouth at times, is there no shame? An unclean mouth is an indicator that the heart is not clean. Jesus has made it clear that it is not so much what we take in that makes us unclean before God, but rather how we start out our life. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, immorality, and so on. And our hearts are unclean from the start of life and give evidence of that fact through our mouth. It's important, though, to also recognize what we take in that can make our heart and thus our mouth unclean. What are our ears taking in? What are our eyes taking in? What is our mind taking in? If not curbed, before or after coming to faith in Jesus, our heart becomes what we take in. And then that becomes evident through our mouth. How many of our faith brothers and sisters have stopped coming to church because the heart has become taken captive again to the ways of this world? Their excuses spoken through the mouth give evidence of where their heart is and what is in that heart. It is not Jesus. Can Jesus work in that heart again? Well, is God not a God of mercy? He is. And so we continue on our quest to bring the gospel to family and friends and others so that they can come to Jesus or come back to Jesus. For only Jesus can clean the heart. And so our attempts to bring people to Jesus, to have a clean heart as evidenced through the mouth, comes not through the gimmicks that we can come up with, but rather through a message of law and gospel which God himself has given to us. And so at times we have to say those hard words, brothers, your breath stinks. And a breathman is not going to take care of it. But Jesus can and does. Jesus does not need to die on that cross again. One-time sacrifice is all we need ongoing. And even before his sacrifice, the promise of that sacrifice was powerful as well. Isaiah was told by God through his messengers, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." In a very symbolic way, taking a hot coal and touching his lips, Isaiah was told, "Your sins are atoned for, are forgiven." And this is why then you, Isaiah, are able to stand here in the presence of God and do what the Lord God has commissioned you to do. What an example then Isaiah is for you and me today. One that reflects the truth about ourselves apart from God's intervention in our life. That we are sinners, rebellious, more often than not selfish in our thoughts and in our ways. And so an attitude of humility is warranted in the presence of God. And notice, too, who also recognizes that an attitude and an appearance of humility is warranted in the presence of God, even though they have been given a very important status in God's presence day in and day out. The angels who remain with the Creator since that rebellion recorded for us in Genesis 3, they are not flaunting their heavenly status. We see an example of the seraphim, then, who are described in our text. With their wings, they are covering their faces and their feet as a sign of humility. They are using their voices to call out praises to God Almighty, praises referencing the fact that He is holy and how holy is He is. Separate He is from His creation because of the absolute perfection that He has and we do not. And through those words of praise, we're reminded of the fact that there is no God like our God, for He alone saves not by threats, but by mercy. There is no God like our God, who is three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet not three gods, but one God. Each person of the Trinity working for our safe passage to heaven. The Father implemented the plan. The Son carried out the plan. And the Holy Spirit works that saving plan in our hearts and keeps it there as we stay connected to the gospel. And so we can only say with Isaiah, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," and He has, and He does, daily. So what is next with this gift of mercy that we have been given? Well, until we get to heaven, we along with Isaiah take up the call to speak up about sin and grace. We have to tell people in a loving way that their breath stinks, and we have a way to make it fresh again for life. That way is not inside of us, but rather comes outside of us. Namely, through God, who is a God of mercy, who sent His Son to win our forgiveness of sins, and by way of the Holy Spirit works that forgiveness in us and moves us then to do what the Lord God wants us to do. To use our mouth in a way that reflects Jesus in our heart. Now we can speak up directly as Abel, and we can also speak up indirectly as we support missionaries who go and do the work for us in our name, as we support congregation mission offerings connected to our ministry financial plan. What we ourselves are not worthy to do, God, who is a God of mercy, has made us worthy and capable to do. Give thanks then to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the breath that He has given to us. And with the handing out of a breath mint to someone, what a meaningful conversation you could have with that person. If not you, who? God grant you wisdom to know when to have such a conversation. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's continue our confession of faith using the words of the Athanasian Creed on page 9. It is furthermore necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ also took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith.
We believe in
He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man, born in time from the nature of his mother, fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father as to the Deity, less than the Father as to the humanity.
And though he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons, but one.
One, not by changing the deity into flesh, but by taking
one, indeed, not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person.
For just as the rational soul and flesh are one human being, so God and man are one Christ.
He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father.
At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds.
Those who have done good will enter eternal life, but those who have done evil will go into eternal fire.
This is the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
After months of requests and study, today we are using the NIV Lord's Prayer. Just keep that in mind. And so as we go through this prayer, whether it be the NIV or the King James translation, the Lord wasn't concerned about the translation, but the content. So may we keep that in mind as we pray this prayer today using the NIV version. As we pray the prayer of the church, I would ask you to take the bold in type print, whether it be in italics or not. First of all, we pray, O risen Savior, grant us hearts to yield you gladly, freely of your own. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you, at length believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. We join together in the prayer of intercession. Let us pray, brothers and sisters, for the Holy Church of God throughout the world, that God the Almighty Father gather and guide it so that we may worship Him in peace and tranquility. Almighty and eternal God, you have shown your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ. Guide the work of the church. Help it to persevere in faith. Proclaim your word. And bring salvation to people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Let us pray for our pastors and teachers and all leaders of the church and for all the people of God.
Almighty and eternal God, your Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold all who serve you and your people. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church. Help each of us to do faithfully the work to which you have called us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Let us pray for those who do not believe in Christ, that the light of the Holy Spirit may show them the way to salvation.
Almighty and eternal God, enable those who do not acknowledge Christ to receive the truth of the gospel. Help us, your church, to grow in love for you and for one another, so that we become more perfect witnesses of your love for all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Let us pray for those who serve in public office, that God may guide their minds and hearts, so that all of us may live in true peace and freedom.
Almighty and eternal God, graciously direct those who have been set in positions of authority among us, so that people everywhere may enjoy justice, peace, freedom, and a share in the goodness of your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Let us pray that God, the Almighty and Merciful Father, may heal the sick, comfort the dying, give safety to travelers, and free those unjustly deprived of liberty.
Almighty and eternal God, you give strength to the weary and new courage to those who have lost heart. In your mercy, hear the prayers of all who call on you in any trouble, that they may have the joy of receiving your help in their need. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, we also pray, continue to provide the physical care and healing needed for all who we love and cherish. Especially at this time, we commend Martha Schmidt to your care as she continues to deal with follow-up from an earlier health procedure, along with Thomas Trebatic, Justin Malone's grandpa, who is in ICU. Above all, focus their attention and our attention on what you have done for us due to your amazing grace, as what you have done to meet our spiritual needs does not change, though our physical circumstances may change. Continue to comfort Brenda Well and family as they mourn the earthly passing of her mother, Tilly. We thank you for bringing her to faith in you as the Savior. Refresh the family with the good news of eternal life. Help them be your witnesses during this time. As another school year draws to a close, we ask for your continued hand of protection and refuge as our children get recharged for another school year or move into the workplace. May they continue along with their parents to take advantage of the opportunity to worship you with their fellow believers. Summer is not to be a hiatus from the Word, so may they show their commitment to you by continuing to worship you with words, songs, and actions. Keep our Christian schools focused on providing our children a Christ-centered education that will also be useful to them in applying the skills and abilities you have given them for life in this world. Be with the graduates from our church as they graduate from our elementary school or from the various high schools in the area, together with those graduating from college. May they continue to take you with them as they enter the next phase of their life until their eternal life in and with you. Lord, we also want to remember those who laid down their lives for our country. Through the freedoms you have allowed soldiers of the past to obtain or hold on to, your word has been allowed to be preached here and from here to other parts of the world. Through their sacrifices, you have blessed the people of this land with countless privileges. May we not take any for granted any longer. Through the preaching of your word, may families of fallen down soldiers be comforted. May families with relatives currently active in the armed forces find strength through your word. Finally, may we never forget the greatest of all sacrifices, so the greatest of freedoms would be obtained, that which your Son made for us all. Birthdays are another reminder of how special our life is, as you, Lord, are the one who has given us this life. Move us to view one another as gifts from you. As our fellow members celebrate a birthday this week, we thank you for them and ask that you refresh them in body and soul. And finally, continue to bless the couples among us who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Renew their hearts for one another as they reflect on your great love for them. Now hear us, Lord, as we join together in the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word, from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
For our closing hymn, we turn to the blue hymnal, the supplement, hymn 747. Morning again. Thank you to our musical group for helping lead our service this morning in song. Just to highlight Bible study today, there's one offering for adults here in the church proper, looking at the epistle of John. And then in addition to that, we have our Sunday school and also our teen class. The teen class will meet in its usual place. Next week, we begin our look at the Gospel of Mark here in the church sanctuary. And then we're also offering the Foundations course. That course is a way to review the basic doctrines of the Bible, as well as to consider membership here at St. Mark's. So if you're going to the Foundations class, please sign up so that we can have enough materials on hand. So the Gospel of Mark throughout the summer months here in the church proper, and Foundations throughout the summer will be held in the chapel. Not Without Purpose information package, Not Without Purpose, as of July 1, that's how we're going to refer to our mortgage, our indebtedness of about $1.5 million. And so there were packets handed out last week for all members. If you did not get a chance to receive your packet, they're there in the lobby. Please help yourself to that packet. If you forget, we'll get it to you one way or another. So best if you can pick it up yourself, that would help us. We'd appreciate that. And it'll explain what we're all doing with this Not Without Purpose effort over the next 2 years. As far as our principal call, we have been blessed with good news. Mr. Greg Thiesfeld, as you maybe saw already in the weekly news, accepted the call to serve as principal. He'll make that transition to California along with his wife Lisa in July. So we're thankful for that. And then with Lisa, we are also welcoming another organist to our rotation, so we're thankful for that help in our worship service, too. And then as far as kindergarten, we're thankful to announce that Adrian Bengel has accepted the call to serve a one-year call in kindergarten. And so we ask the Lord's blessings upon the Thiesfelds and on Mrs. Bengel as they make their transition to their new callings. Mrs. Bengel doesn't need to move far, so that's good. But it does leave an opening in our administrative release time, so we'll be working to fill that position for next school year. So your prayers on all of that, definitely appreciated. The school wraps up this week on Wednesday, Lord willing. A graduation service will be held here at the church on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We're thankful for overall a good school year and pray that it continues that way in the last couple days. Congregation meeting next week after the late service. A couple focuses. One will be the ministry financial plan for 18-19, and then also the election of new church officers. Mommies and Me program, it will be offered twice a month beginning in June. We've been blessed already with sign-ups, unbelievable, it's great, and so many prospects, members using this program. So if you are interested in learning more about it, see the weekly news, see the website, and encourage friends and family that you know, people from the community to sign up or get on a waiting list. Sport camps, registration for those sports camps that are coming up in June. The registration is due by June 1st. So again, go to the website, call the office to sign up for those camps that are coming up. For other timely information, please see the weekly news. If you don't get it by email, please do so if you can and you want to. Greet one another in God's name and keep Breathmans happy as you talk to one another. That's part of an outreach tool as well.